Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're continuing in the first parak of Maseches Yevamos, and we are learning parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. So this Mishnah is going to tell us that a person is allowed to marry the tzara of his erva when they were married to someone other than his brother. Meaning, let's say my daughter was married to not my brother, just to Stam, a guy, and that guy was also married to somebody else, to another random woman. So if that guy drops dead, I'm allowed to marry that other random woman, that this fellow, even though she is the tzara of my erva, she is the tzara of my daughter or my other relative, that's perfectly fine. So that's what our Mishnah is going to teach us, and it's going to tell us all the ervas who could not have been married to the brother who died, because they were an erva to that brother as well. So sheish arayos chamuros meilu. There are six arayos that we didn't even mention among the 15 in Mishnah Aleph. Because those 15 women could be married to your brother, but these six women could not possibly be married to your brother because they're related to him too. So they could have only been married to a random person. So tzarosein mutaros, their co-wives you're going to be allowed to marry because their co-wives are not tzaros of an erva in a yibum situation. So the Mishnah gives these six arayos. Imo, person's mother, even if she was not married to his father, ve'eshes aviv, his father's former wife, even if she's not his mother, va'achos aviv, his father's sister, achoso me aviv, his half-sister from his father's side, ve'eshes achi aviv, his father's brother's sister his father's brother's former wife, an uncle's ex-wife, the Eishes Achiv Me Aviv, and the former wife of his half-brother that with whom he shares a father. So when that marriage ended in a way that didn't create a situation of Yibum. So in all the cases, if the unmarried woman married someone, or the woman who was once married to his relative married someone else, and that husband died and left the woman and her co-wives as widows, he can marry the co-wives. So in all those situations, if these women who are erva to you were married to somebody along with someone else who was married to that somebody, then those somebody else's, those co-wives, are mutter to you. Now, Mishnah Dalet refers back something we learned in Mishnah Aleph. In Mishnah Aleph, we learned that a person can't do yibum with an erva's tzara, with a tzara's erva, the co-wife of an erva. So our Mishnah is going to tell us that that's actually machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai matirin hatzaros le'achim. Beis Shammai actually allows the co-wife of an erva to marry the brother, meaning the idea that it's tzaras erva that we take for granted at the beginning of this Masechta is actually subject to Machlokas. So Beis Hillel is the one that asers that. So the Mishnah has some other nafkaminas in this Machlokas. Choltzu, if one of the co-wives of the Erva did Chalitza with the living brother, so Beis Shammai Polson Melakunu. Beis Shammai says that's a real Chalitza because it was a necessary Chalitza, and therefore it will make her a Chalutza who's Pasul Lekuhuna. Beis Hillel Machshirim, but Beis Hillel says that it's going to be Kasha Lekuhuna because it's not a real Chalitza because you never really needed chalitza because the whole thing was potter anyway. Another nafkamin would be nisiyabmu. If one of the co-wives was taken by the brother in yibum and then he dropped dead, Beis Shammai machshirim. Beis Shammai holds that they're allowed to marry a kohen because the yibum was entirely mutter. There's nothing wrong with it. Beis Hillel posim, but Beis Hillel said they're not allowed to marry a kohen because the yibum was asur, and a woman who violates an asur relationship is considered a zona, and therefore she's a pasul lekuhuna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. So it would turn out that kohanim from the Beis Shammai, might be worried about marrying women from families of the Beis Hillel, because and vice versa, because there are women that the Beis Shammai would consider to be mutzer to kohanim, and the Beis Hillel would not, and vice versa. So the Mishnah tells us, how do they deal with this? I mean, that limits your pool of shiduchim. If you can't marry anyone whose father learnt in a certain yeshiva, is from the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai, the Talmidim of the Beis Hillel, so ava pi she'ilu osun ve'ilu matirin. Even though the Beis Hillel forbid the tzara to the brother, and the Beis Shammai allow the tzara to the brother, nevertheless, elu posun ve'ilu machshirin, even though one side of the of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel would possible some women from marrying Kohanim, while the other Shita would allow those same women to marry Kohanim. Lo nimnu Beis Shammai milisa nashim Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from the Beis Hillel. V'lo Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai, nor did the Beis Hillel refrain from marrying women from the Beis Shammai. Because why not? Meaning, if it was a real problem, why didn't they refrain from it? Because they trusted each other. They knew they could always tell each other. And they would tell each other. It would be on the Shidduch resume, you know, that this woman is not eligible to kuhuna l'shitas Beis Shammai, even though the woman came from a Beis Hillel family. And then they would discuss how other machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't affect the way that they were able to interact with each other. Anytime there was a taru or tuma that one school of thought would be mitaher and the other would be mitame, lo nimnu osin tarus elu al gabe elu, each side didn't refrain from preparing Torah food on kelim that were borrowed from the other one, because each side would always tell the other one about any potential problems lishitasam that they would be dealing with. Okay, so let's review what we learned today. In Mishnah Gimel, we learned that there are six arayos that are more chamer than the 15 we mentioned in the first Mishnah that never would have been married to your brother in the first place, and therefore their tsaros from whatever marriage they're in are going to be mutzer to marry you, and that would be your mother, your father's wife, your father's sister, your sister with whom you share a father, your father's brother's wife, and the wife of your brother with whom you share a father. Then in Mishnah Dalet we said that Beis Shammai allows the tsaros what we learned in Mishnah Aleph, that not only are the 15 ervas pater from Yibum v'chalitza, but the tsaros also are asur to do Yibum v'chalitza. We said Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai says that they're allowed to do it. It's only Beis Hillel that asurs, and if therefore they did chalitza, Beis Shammai would say they're pasul lukuna, whereas Beis Hillel would say they're kasha lukuna. And if they did yibum, Beis Shammai would say good, they're kasha lukuna, they never did anything wrong, whereas Beis Hillel would say no, that's nus, that would make her a zona, and they're pasul lukuna. So we said that even though they disagreed about who's pasul lukuna and who's kasha lukuna, the kohanim from the Beis Shammai would still be comfortable marrying women from the Beis Hillel and vice versa, because they informed each other of their yichus, so they knew exactly what they were getting into. And the same is true when it came to shailos of tum and tahara that they disagreed about. They didn't have to worry about borrowing kelim one from the other, because if I'm from the Beis Hillel and I'm lending a kli to the Beis Shammai, then I know it's problematic to them. Of course I'll inform them of that so that they'll know not to borrow this kli from me, that they knew that they respected each other enough that they can trust each other about these matters. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the second parak of Maseches Yevamos.